Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the motherfucking Joe Howard Show! Dave Zink, welcome to the Joe Howard Show, buddy.
How's it going, dude?
It's going great, man. So basically, I just want to tell all my thousands of fans out there that this is my pal Dave Zink, the greatest guitar player that ever lived. Living in Prescott, I call it Prescott, he calls it Prescott, Arizona, one of the most beautiful places I've ever visited. He's got a beautiful wife and a lovely daughter, and this kid is an ass kicker at everything he does. I don't care if it's shooting, building stuff, inventing stuff. He's basically a fucking genius. Dave, how are you?
God, I wasn't like ready for that.
Yo, did you? Hey, did you like that introduction? That shit was nice, right?
No, that's cool. Just you talk about Prescott, though. I'm sitting here waiting for the snow to come down. Would you believe?
I know, Dave. Like winter is like showing up late over here too. There was like 2 weeks where it was absolutely beautiful, and I'm doing outside work, and then all of a sudden it just shut down. So, dude, we could get a whole conversation about how it was such an easy winter. Like, I killed it this winter because we didn't really have a winter. But now it's like...
Yeah, dude, same thing with me, man.
It's not letting up now. But I think it's because of El Negro on the West Coast. What do you think?
Oh, my goodness. No, yeah, I...
Dave, let me tell you something real quick. I don't mean to cut you off. But when I'm like, Dave, call me in 5 minutes. Do you know what I did in the 5 minutes? I pissed. I took a pain pill. I had to rewipe my ass. I didn't do such a great job the first time. And I came back in the room and I tripped and went headfirst into my guitar. Made sure that was okay. Just enough time to put the headphones on and saw you were calling in. So I'm a fucking spaz today, I swear. It's a lot of time. Anyway. Dave, all I got to tell the people is when I came through on one of my trips back home, or back to LA actually, I stopped at your house. I love stopping at your house. It's my favorite. I want to live there. I really do. We had a great time. We got to play guitars and make bullets. You guys took me to a kick-ass place, that microbrewery restaurant that was phenomenal in Prescott.
Yeah, Prescott Brewing Company, yeah.
Dude, that place is the shit. I love it, man. And by the way, this show is sponsored by Prescott Brewing Company. Go ahead, Dave.
No, you ordered the chocolate clips, man. Ever since you got it, you gave me a sip of that. I've been getting it.
I know. It was really, really good. Well, that lady gave me the tip off. She really did. And, dude, I had an amazing time with your family. I love your family. I am sad that I don't get to see them at all. I mean, your daughter is so beautiful and so smart and just cool to hang with. I completely miss her. And she's, what, 16 now?
Yeah, she just turned 15.
All right.
She's at that age, dude.
Yeah, how's her gymnastics going with her knee and all that stuff?
Yeah, she retired. Okay. She was out with the injury for almost a year. She tried to go back in February, and, you know, the coaches wanted her back, but it just hurt too much. She came home in tears every night, so she was like, you know, fuck it.
Yeah.
Now, so now it's shooting full time. That's, you know, the only sport she's really doing right now.
That's amazing.
And the knee, you know, fucking kid, I swear to God, she goes out with mom, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. They're going to go hiking. We got trails all over the place around here.
Yeah.
And she jumps off a fucking rock and fucking lands on the knee the wrong way. And you're like, all right.
Dave, you have scorpions all over the place there. There's no hiking around there. Come on, Al.
No, they're not that bad.
Come on, dude. There was one in your house.
Dude, but remember, this is the high country, man. I mean, it's... You know, like Phoenix has rattlesnakes, we have a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Phoenix has scorpions, we have a scorpion.
Are you talking about Phoenix?
What's that?
You talking about Phoenix?
Phoenix.
Hey, so anyway, we would sit in the garage, make bullets, and just drink beer and then play guitar, and you would solo over some of the stuff that I did. And when you listen to my podcast, I do all this classical stuff, and I actually do that song with a violinist. So you'll get a kick out of it because he heard your version.
Oh, shit.
He heard your version, and he just tore it up on a violin, dude. It's insanity. You're going to love my podcast. They're really funny.
Is it like a video thing? By the way, I have a smartphone now. I'm actually talking to you on a phone that doesn't have buttons.
Oh, are you kidding me right now? You didn't flip that shit open?
I shit you negative. Yeah, I actually have a real phone. And, you know, my wife made me. Fuck. But it's pretty cool. I can actually send pictures. I just sent Britt a whole ass load of pictures from, I guess it's like, he's doing this like metal sledge thing. And he wanted like stuff from the first reunion show. I just sent him a buttload of them.
That's awesome.
On my phone. Yeah, finally I do this stuff.
I just said I'm going to do a podcast of every single member of the band. Me and Kenny talked yesterday. We talked about Japan. We had so much fun. We can't really talk about a lot of it because everybody's married now and happily. Thank God.
Hey, just so you understand, and you've known Diane for, what, almost 30 years now.
Yes.
She's old school Hollywood. She knows everything. She gets it.
Yeah, she does. She is great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Dave's wife, Diane, for all that don't know, she's we called her Sissy forever because she was sisters with Janet Dominic, and they did promotions or clubs. Actually, Diane used to make wardrobe for all the huge 80s bands. Anything you've seen in the video, Diane probably made it. For the guys in Rat, the Cult, you name it. She did all their clothes, Morrissey, you name it. So she was amazing. She would come and fix all my total East Coast shitty clothes. She'd be like, dude, why are your clothes falling apart? And she would just take them home and just knock the shit out of them. So,
you know what drives me crazy right now?
What's that?
She has a bunch of the white leather left over. She found it in a box in our house. It's the white leather from the white leather suits that she made for Warrant. Remember the Heaven video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, my God, you have to make something out of that. She's like, oh, no, it's all smelly. I'm like, oh, so you're telling me it's got, like, Jenny Lane sweat all over it? She's like, well, yeah, I guess. And I asked her, I said, well, could you clean it up and turn it into, like, you know, leather that you could apply to some pants for me for this next blackboard gig? And she was looking at me like I was from outer space, like, ew, no, it's gross. I'm going to throw it out.
Now, hey, Dave, so what guitar are you going to bust out with this year?
If I can get did you meet Tommy when you were here, kind of like my adopted father?
No.
If I can get him to come with me, I want to bring three guitars because it's really super hard to walk from the hotel with more than two guitars and the pedal board.
Yes.
But Muscat, I think, would think it was cool if I showed up with that Les Paul that he gave me, the Muscat guitar.
Oh, man.
And then I've got a couple of Strats. You know, I've got an American Fender that I'm in love with a rosewood board. And I've got, you didn't see the one that I built.
Yeah, I did the black one.
Well, no. This is a different one. It's like a tobacco sunburst. I played it last year.
Oh, okay.
It's got like a, I found like an early 80s Floyd Rose to put on. It's pretty cool.
Well, we were talking about it yesterday, and I told Kenny, like, I was going to the original show because it was the 11th, then it went down to like the 4th, or I don't know, it was all over the place. But my son's graduating high school this year, so I'm going to his graduation. I'm going to miss the show this year, which totally sucks. But I'm down to promote it, and I'm going to miss it, and it sucks because it changed all over the place. And Memorial Weekend's going to be pretty big out there for you guys, so I'm going to miss it this year, but there'll be years.
I can't make rehearsal because I got students that are graduating on the night before. So I'm literally going to be at like Prescott High School graduation the night before. And then, yeah, off to the gig the next morning. I like drive all the way to LA.
Damn. Why don't you just fly in, Dave?
I don't fly.
All right. Well, that fucking settles that.
What's that?
I said, well, that settles that. So anyway,
yeah, pretty much.
So when Dave moved to Prescott, of course, when you move away from Hollywood, everybody's got to break your balls. Why are you leaving? Where are you going? So, but when I went to Dave's house, all I know is he had a fucking pool in his house. He's got a man cave garage. The house is humongous. I love the flow of that house, man. That place is a mansion. And Dave Zink Door and Trim he's a Lowe's contractor and basically does all the doors and trims in the area. And Dave, like everything else, like when you first moved to Hollywood and you worked at Jerry Tune and you were just fixing guitars, just like absolutely people fell in love with him. And he's like the preferred contractor that does everything. And him and his wife, Diane, have been running a business successfully for what? At least the last 12 years, 13 years, right?
Yeah, sounds about right, yeah.
Because that's when I moved out.
Came here.
It's amazing. I absolutely was blown away by Prescott. I mean, dude, the lightning storms and just going to this old town and just seeing stuff that, like, you know, all the, like, Doc Holliday and them used to hang out in those bars, and they're still open. That, to me, is pretty amazing. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And one of my favorite singers of all time lives right down the street from you, doesn't he?
Which one?
Maynard.
Oh, no, that's not down the street. He's up on the top of Mingus Mountain. He's in a little old mining town called Jerome. It's kind of a touristy sort of a place. It's literally on the top of Mingus Mountain. They carved the whole town into the side of this mountain. It's pretty cool.
I'm going to tell you, that guy, like, I'm not a huge fan of Tool, but I absolutely love that guy's solo shit for, what's it, Pacifier or Pissifer or whatever they call the band. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a country boner.
Oh, man.
You know, it's funny. You listen to some of that stuff like Tool, like something really dark, and Tool and Pussifer is like really funny. And he's got this, I've never met the dude, but he's supposed to be like this really, really down-to-earth nice guy. Yeah. Like everybody says that about him. Everybody wants to hang out with him. So yeah. I'd love to meet the dude someday.
Dave,
he's got a winery, you know.
I know, I heard that. Listen, if you hear, he has a song called Mama Said, S-E-D. If you hear this song, you will absolutely... you'll be blown away. The video for the song is amazing, and the song, I listen to it at least once a week. Since this kid at my work, Dana Boyer, he showed it to me, the video. I'm like, I was blown away. I actually wrote an email to the director of the video, and the song and video are unbelievable, dude. It's life-changer. You got to absolutely check it out. You'll lose your mind. So, but, man, I want to know what you think. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, guy.
No, I had nothing to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, according to the song, he fucked Randy Travis, the Oak Ridge Boys, Kenny Rogers, the Judds.
Oh, the Country Boner song. That shit's hilarious, dude. Yeah, well, this one's a little bit more serious. This one's a little bit more serious than that. But it's okay. Yeah, you fucked the Judds. That shit's great. I actually watched that video. I was pissing laughing, dude. It was great. But
yeah, the first time I saw it, we were standing in the garage, and I had to hold my gut.
Yeah, that is great shit, man. Hey, how's your old neighbors doing?
Couldn't tell you. You know, they've moved away. I miss them dearly.
Yeah, they were great.
And, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
All right. You're working too much. You don't really have time to keep up on it.
Hey, I miss them. I miss the girls. I miss Denise and Mike.
How's Mark doing?
Mark's doing all right.
And you know what's funny? People say to me, in your podcast, don't just say names. You have to tell people. Man, it's Dave Zink's fucking friend is who I'm asking about. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I do it my way. I don't care. I don't have to follow a formula. I'm listening to the podcasts now that I'm doing them. And I swear to God, and I'm not even bragging, but my shit is the best. Their shit sucks.
Well, because you talk well. You speak well. You're funny, you know? I've listened to these. I know what you're talking about. You like the podcast, they're like, you know, 14, 15 minutes long, and you get 3 minutes into it, and you're like, yeah, come on. But, you know, it's like, dude, it's Joe.
Yeah, like, dude, my problem is before I do a podcast, I'm a little slurry because I always take a pain pill. And I don't know why. I just think it makes me more comfortable. Not that I'm scared to do this. It just makes me chill.
Is that for the arm, dude?
Yeah, my arm, dude. I'm still taking.
Are you still getting like nerve pain from where the cut was?
Dave, I can't feel shit. It's achy all the time, but I can't feel it to the touch. But it's getting worse and worse, man. So I'm just doing the best I can. It's a lot of fucking pain, and people wonder why I'm a dick. I can't always blame my arm pain on it 100%, but I try. Hey, yeah, I got now that I'm on the subject. Well, actually, I'm all over the place. But Dave, do you know Joel's number? Can you give it to me after the show? Like, just text it to me or something, because I have to call him because I'm gonna do him and Britt. And I know Britt's show. I did a podcast with Brent Muscat and Britt, and let me tell you, Britt wouldn't shut the fuck up. I love him, and he was good. But I felt like it wasn't even my pod show. I started getting my feelings hurt.
Yeah, remember, Britt's got a lot of energy, and you know, Britt's good with a room, and that's once he walks into a room, he kind of takes over. You always remember that.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer at from his toes to the top of his head, and he knows how to work a room, and that's just what he's doing. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he loved being on with you, but yeah, was he a little wordy?
Oh no, he was great. Him and Brent were doing their thing, but I was just like, dude, I seriously left at one point. And went to the bathroom and got something to eat, came back, and they were just rapping. And I was like, this is perfect. But, I mean, I was like, all right, cool. And every time I said something, he would step on me. But it's all good, dude. It is what it is. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I just brought it up in your podcast and in Kenny's. But I'm cool with it. I'm okay.
No, listen, you got to remember something. You know, Britt taught me something. I don't know if he ever talked about this with you. But he had this little interesting set of, like, Hollywood values. And one of them was this. And I passed this on to my kid. Believe it or not, this is actually worth passing on to my child. He said, whenever we walked into a room, whenever Black Lord Jones was in a room, if we were promoting or if we were in any space and there was people around, he would always look for the person who nobody was paying attention to, like nobody thought was cool, nobody was hanging out with, somebody who looked like they were nervously on their own, like, you know, unhappy about being on their own, and he would go and, like, befriend them.
Yes.
And it was fucking magical to watch. The dude fucking pulled it off, and people liked it. People would come to our gigs because Britt was fucking nice to him.
That's true. And I was just talking the same thing about Brent, too. And Brent was, like, one of the most gracious guys. And, dude, out of all rock star friends I have the best rock star friends. And even Snake, they're just great people. Like, didn't Snake get you out of a fight with Lars Ulrich?
Oh, God. Yeah, well, we all know why. If you've seen him, you remember her.
I do. But it's just funny. Dave, just tell the story real quick because people got to hear this. This is great.
Well, no, it was who the hell was it? It was your friend, the guitar player, not just gonna be a fucking great guy, Jersey guy, and his name was
Dave Sabo, Snake.
Thank you, fucking cool dude.
Yeah.
And the dude with the nose ring, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel.
They invited, for some reason, the girlfriend that I had at the time, and she's gone off to go marry the singer of Def Leppard or whatever the fuck it is she did. He invited us up, and I'm like 18 years old, and they're at the Riot House. And they were being really nice. They were like, I don't know, you know how Brit is. Like, oh, it's all Jersey guys. We all like each other. And it turns out to be true.
Exactly.
So they welcomed us into their room, and we're drinking their beer and, you know, kind of being low-key. And then all of a sudden, fucking Zach Wilde and Lars Ulrich walk in. And they're loaded. They're drunk. And I'm wearing this, like, silky, poofy, you know, kind of girly shirt. You remember what it was back
then. Yeah,
we wore makeup. We had fucking eyeliner and everything.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking 18-year-old skinny kid. I'm not the guy I am now.
Yeah.
And Lars Ulrich looks at me, and he looks at my girlfriend, who's like, you remember her. She was fucking Bobby Talisman, was the hottest chick that ever was born.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah, right? And he's like, hey, you, say something. I'm like, what, sir? He's like, say something. I'm like, you're the drummer for Metallica. And I'm like shitting my pants. And I'm like, why? And he goes, I just want to see if you're a bitch or not.
Oh, man, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, he's up in San Francisco at that point. They started in Jersey, but they were out in San Francisco at that point.
Yeah, you know, and so your friend was sitting on the bed, and he was like, hey, dude, be cool, man. And I'm, like, getting up, and he's looking at me going, dude, be cool, seriously.
Yeah,
okay. There's still them. But he was really nice, you know. I mean, he's got to be what, like 24 at the time, and I'm 18.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me like, dude, well, I'll look out for you. Just let me handle this. Nice about it.
Yeah, he's totally cool. Those guys are great, dude. I see Dave anywhere he plays. I just saw him in Jersey. Like, it was like this food truck rock show, and we went, and he's still the coolest fucking guy I ever lived. He's just great, dude. I mean, just watching him play, like just watching this dude play with this band Steel Fortune, and then watching him come up in Skid Row. I mean, dude, when you know somebody and they get up as high as he's gotten and then still stayed the same person, that's a big deal. Because as soon as you got famous in Hollywood, you just got really stuck up. You remember? I'm just kidding.
No, you know what? There really is something. I mean, I'm going to put, you know, all of my feelings about, you know, New Jersey or California, New York, you know, and we're not going to go there. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
But you know what? All of my friends in the music business, you know, growing up, you, Billy, God, I call him Billy. Jeez, I shouldn't do that. You, Britt, Kenny, you guys all from New Jersey. Jesse, I fucking miss Jesse too, by the way.
Yeah, he misses you, man. He just bought a house with his wife, just got married this summer. He's doing good.
He got married?
Yeah, he's married this girl. She's really cool. And he's happy, dude. He's happy. He's doing his thing, man. I love Jess. He's actually playing out a lot now. Him and Greg,
really?
They're playing out with the Discontent. He's been playing a lot.
No shit. Greg's playing. Dude, you guys, get those fucking guys out for the next gig. I love playing out of state, dude. Greg came up and did, what did he do with us? Like the last time he played with us.
I forget.
Badass,
it was great, though. He had a great time. I forget. That was a couple of years ago. Dude, one thing I don't want to bury about Bobby your girlfriend we were just talking about.
Oh, God.
Well, the greatest thing ever. It's like one of my favorite Hollywood stories. So we were just a bunch of guys, and half of us had jobs, and we were just beer money and eating top ramen and macaroni and cheese. But our phone bill got our phone got turned off, and Dave's like, "I got an idea." So all of a sudden, him and his girlfriend leave, and they go down to the phone company, and and the guy is like, the old man behind the counter is like, "There's no way I'm turning this phone back on. You have to give me something." And she broke out her chaunch. Next thing you know, the phone's back on.
No, that's funny. It's interesting. Actually, the first time I ever heard the word chaunch was from her. And you have to, if people at home listening, you have to understand this was one of the most exquisitely beautiful women probably ever born.
Yes, she was awesome.
I mean, literally chiseled out of stone, you'd make a statue out of her. She was gorgeous. Yeah. And she was a nice girl, too. She was a very nice person.
She's great.
And you can imagine she's standing there talking to this civil servant, you know, this douchebag that's behind the counter going, "Fuck you, you owe me $291. And she goes, "But what if I did this?"
And next thing you know, and the phone was on. By the time you got home,
shit was turned back on. And put her on like, "Yeah, you're going to give me 10 cents a month payment plan."
That shit is amazing, dude. I'll tell you, we hustled and we did so much with nothing. And there's no doubt about it. And I think your beer drinking days started at the top of the Bronson. And that's how it all started. Me and Kenny out there, I was already fucking drunk. But you guys were all sitting out there having our first beers, where you guys were. And from that point, you and Kenny love your beers. I'm glad that I was part of that.
You bought it was a 12-pack of Coors Extra Gold. It was like their heavy brew. It was like a 5-6 beer or something.
Yeah.
I had a couple of them, and I thought to myself, "Oh, I must have just had 8 beers."
Out of a 12-pack. Meanwhile, I had 6 and Kenny had 7, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's great, dude.
Funny. That was in the days when you guys had just moved from the old apartment, and I remember you telling me the story about having to roll up your burrito bag. And you're running down Brussels Street with this burrito bag. And you were ashamed because there was like some kind of stain on her.
Yeah, some chick followed me home from Hollywood Boulevard. I was getting a tattoo. She got the same fucking tattoo as me. She told me she was in love with me when I was in the chair. She followed me all the way back to the house, and she wanted to fuck. And I'm like,
she was called Chaz.
Yeah, dude. And
I remember that.
No, this wasn't Chaz. This was another chick.
Really?
I think her name is Tara. And she's like, "Listen, I really want to fuck, but I'm on my period." I'm like, "I don't give a shit. I don't care if you don't care."
That's
so
right.
I threw a towel down, so there was blood on the burrito, and I got done with that, dude.
Oh, shit. That's why you called it the burrito, because it was hot sauce. I totally remember now.
That's right, dude.
It's been 30 years.
That thing, oh, man. It was cool for like the first 3 days, and it just started smelling like fucking fish and low tide. I had to throw that thing out.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, yeah, dude, that was weird. That was back in the day where I tell people this and they don't believe me, but I'm like, dude, you used to have to try to not get laid throughout the day in Hollywood. It was like, I have to not get laid so I can go to work and I can concentrate on things that are going to help me pay my bills. But like, you would take off for days where you'd have to put a search party out for you. Jamie would take off for days where like, where the fuck is this guy? And it was out of control, dude. That was the fun times, dude. Actually, thanks to Dave, I have 2 beautiful children.
You know, it's funny, the most non-promiscuous member of our band was Kenny Price, and the poor bastard always had such bad luck in those days.
Yeah.
Example, the Donna Pimentel incident.
Oh, yeah.
The girl with the yellow Camaro, you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I moved them to Donna and Gail. And, dude, not only that, do you remember that one chick that was outside that the boyfriend was trying to pimp his sister out to Kenny and was like, "Dude, I'm going camping."
Oh, that was Cleve. Yeah.
It's like, I'm going out to it, and there's this beautiful – I want you to make love to my sister under this beautiful –
No, dude, I can do the voice. Dude, and I did this to Kenny. I swear, as God is my witness, I called him up. I think the first time I made contact with him in 2003 before we were doing the reunion show, I got his answering machine, and I did the following. I said, "Hello, Kenny. This is Cleve. My sister Janet, she's in front of the house right now, and she wants to know if you would make love to her at a beautiful waterfall. So, Kenny, remember, this is Cleve. So, well, call me, please."
Dude, we were dying. If we kept any of those tapes from our answer machine, it would be straight fucking comedy. Dude, I'd never forget when you came in real late one day, and I just hear a bunch of jingling down the hallway, and there was a girl wearing chains. You were bringing a girl on a leash. Her body was just covered in chains.
My wife was sitting on the couch with you and still talks about it.
That was crazy. Dude, she got to see the preview.
She was a beautiful black girl called Kamala Petty. And she had, dreadlocks down to her waist, and she was literally wearing nothing but chains, and there was a bit of leather kind of holding the chains together. My wife, to this day, like, you remember that girl? I'm like, yeah.
Dave, you were definitely smashing ass like a champ. But let's talk more about – this is crazy. We can go on forever with those stories. But it's just cool, dude. I'm really happy. I get to see, like, Jamie and Gia. I get to see Veronica. Like, all the kids are coming up. Kenny Aiden's coming up. I mean, it's just great to see everybody starting to settle down and have kids. I mean, we probably have a lot of kids out there we don't know about. But I'm talking about the ones that we're paying for and actually live with these days.
How's Kenny's boy doing?
Good, man. I actually talked to him yesterday. Like, he's funny. Kid loves Disney, and he gets a lot of love. And, Joni spends tons of time with him, and he's getting big, man. He went from, like, the kid – I see him, he's little, and then next thing you know, he's full sentences, and now he's running around and doing his thing. Same thing with Gia. She's talking now. It's crazy.
It's so funny, of all people, my wife, she's been around. She's a pretty good fucking judge of character.
Yeah.
And when I told her, I said, hey, Joni's pregnant, Kenny's going to have a kid. She said right out of the gate, she's like, he's going to be a good dad.
Oh, absolutely.
She pegged it, and she's right.
When I was
on Facebook, I mean, I watched everything he was doing. I was, kind of subscribed to him or whatever you call that. I don't do Facebook anymore. But everything was about the kid. And it's like, just like his old man. He's a good guy.
You know what's awesome, dude? Like, it's just funny because I was telling people, like, hey, I'm going back for Nikki's graduation, and I'm excited to see a few friends. They're like, what are you going to do? Dude, you're going to tear it up. I'm like, I'm going to go see my son's graduation, hang out with my daughter. I'm going to go see Kenny and Jamie's kids, maybe go to Disneyland with them, and maybe go stop and see my old boss. Like, I'm not even care. I don't care about anything else. I just want to make sure those bases are covered because I'm only going to be there a week, dude. You know how fast that goes.
Hey, when are you coming through?
I'm flying into LA probably.
I'm trying to suck you into the press
before. Dude, I would love to. I'd absolutely want to go there one time. I mean, honestly, even like in the winter, maybe I don't know. I'll get to figure it out. But there's a lot of people I have to visit, and I haven't visited, like Mike Anacone. I got to visit you. I got to visit even Jay Olson. He's always asking me to come up there.
Where's Jay Olson living?
Jay lives in Oregon, man. He's running a shoe store, and he's like big into scuba diving.
Oh, he's working with Greg. No shit, huh?
He bought a store or something.
Oh, cool.
But what's up? Have you talked to Greg at all lately? I talked to him like every once in a while, but it's, I don't know, man. You know, Greg, he's on the run.
Yeah, no, I'm comforted to know that he's there, and if I needed him, or if he needed me, we call. I had a little exchange with him, a year ago. I asked him, I said, hey, you remember that Fender Champ amp that I gave you for your birthday 1 year? Do you have it? There was a long pause because he knows what it's for.
Exactly.
He's like, I think so, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That's great for you. Hey, yeah. Dave, I'm really feeling that this podcast is going really well. And now that it is, and can you agree that it's going pretty well?
Yeah, sure.
Because now it's time to fucking talk about politics, Dave. And I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to have to do this. All right? I'm just scared. Like, dude, is my food ready yet? Can I get out of here? So I'm glad to hear that you're voting for Trump, man, because he's all about you keeping your guns.
No, I'm not, actually.
I heard that you were.
There's a process in the Republican Party, and our primary process works, differently from others. He has to come up with the necessary delegates. It's 50% or above, which is 1,237 delegates. And if he doesn't, the first vote, the first ballot is going to go the way the first ballot does. And then all of the delegates are no longer bound. They're no longer committed to any person who holds, a majority of delegates.
Yeah.
And it could change on a dime. For all you know, John Kasich's going to be the nominee.
You think
For all you know, Ted Cruz will be the nominee. And
I have no problem with Kasich. I really don't. I thought he was the guy. He just, not enough people know about him and care about him. But I'll tell you right now, he's done a great job at Ohio. So I'm hoping.
He seems like a nice enough guy. you know, they could actually draft somebody if they wanted to pull somebody that was in the primary before that actually had delegates. You know, say Marco Rubio, or like any Ben Carson, anybody you can think of. They could pull them in. They could even draft the Speaker of the House, Ryan, if they wanted to.
Yeah, I think that if anything stupid like that happens, I think Trump is going to break off into his own independent party, and he's going to really fuck up the Republicans. But he's going to win, dude, because he's got enough crazy motherfuckers like me voting for him.
He'll ruin the country. One way or the other, he'll either ruin the country by electing Hillary by default because he's unelectable, or he'll ruin the country by becoming president. He'll damage us one way or the other.
I don't think so, dude. I mean, I don't think it's going to be any worse than Obama. And plus, I know he's a businessman. He's got a lot of, like, his free trade stuff is good. And he shoots from the hip. And we need that right now. We're in such trouble, dude. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. Like, I feel like he's honest. I know a lot of people think he's immature and acts out like a baby and all that shit. I don't care about that. I care about what this guy can do with the mess that we have right now. And the things that he's talking about aren't that far-fetched. And there are things in his field that he knows how to do. So I just don't want to, get rid of Obamacare. Dude, you have a small business. You should be voting for Trump.
No, I wish that he would actually say something. He doesn't speak in coherent sentences. He doesn't say anything. He's not a talker. He's a babbler.
Yeah.
And hear me now. I've been a Republican for the last 20 whatever years. Obama looks like a statesman by comparison to him. I actually have come away from this experience with more respect for Barack Obama, who was a leftist. He's a man of the left. But I actually respect him now, because at least he's a statesman. He lends dignity to the office. And I got to give a nod to that. Trump does not. And Trump,
I'm going to ask you a question. I want a yes or no. Would you bang the first lady?
Are you talking about Michelle Obama?
Yes.
Oh, hell yes.
Dude, something about her, man. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd take pictures of it, and, like, my wife would be like, yay, buddy.
Yeah.
Michelle. Yeah, no, she's
not. She is, dude, right? All right, cool. Because I'm glad we settled up on that, because I wasn't sure where you were standing with that one. And that's more important than any other thing we'll talk about with politics.
No,
who knows?
She's a pretty woman. Yeah.
She is, dude. She got she wore this dress in Cuba. I was fucking dying, dude. I went right to the
spank. The whole Cuba thing. Why, Barack, are you doing that? Dude, he's communists.
He's done a lot of douchey things, though. He's done, like, he missed the funeral of a couple people, the judge. He missed Nancy Reagan's funeral. He does a lot of douchey things, dude.
It's not that it's douchey. And, God, here I am defending Marxists. It's not that it's douchey. He's just doing what's right for his political agenda. Good for him.
What about taking a picture in front of the place where people were murdered, though? Come on.
I know. Listen, I'm not going to jump on the slam Obama thing. The dude is, he's trying to get out of office without a total freak out, without shit going totally tits up. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets the hot wife at the end. So,
I guess. But, dude, what about Trump's wife? Wouldn't you like to put some gravy on those hogs? See those titties,
no,
dude? The first lady with fake tits. Come on, Dave. You can't be not voting for that.
No, let's put it this way. I will be forced as a Republican to vote for him if I must. If he's the nominee, I'll be forced to. Remember something. The Democratic Party has learned a lesson that the Republican Party has failed to learn. And this is why we always, we always screw up. They have learned to galvanize themselves around a candidate and get their shit together. They're very, very good politically. And we're not. We get far too deep into our values. Well, I want Rubio because he values us. Well, I don't because he's from the Gang of Eight. Well, I want Cruz because he – and we fight.
Yeah,
we
but Dave, but Cruz is a fucking douchebag. I can't even look at that guy's face for 4 years. He looks like an alien, dude. I hate that guy. When he talks, he's just a bitch, dude. And plus, you know what? I think he banged her. He did his thing, man, and he feels he's pretty caught up when that subject comes up. He's pissed off. He's probably done some shit, but he looks like the devil. When I look at him, I get a bad vibe, and I'm a good judge of character. That guy's bad news.
Yeah.
He's Canadian, too. Fuck him.
Look, there's always different ways to vote. There's some people that vote on how they feel about somebody. There's some people that vote on the stats. There's some people that vote on the party. Everybody's got a different way of doing it. And I'm here to tell you that if Trump gets the nomination, God forbid, I will vote for him. And, you know, Dennis Prager said so, too. And Prager's been shouting from the mount, you know, hey, everybody get behind this douche nozzle if we have to.
Hey, listen.
And I will say publicly, I'm doing it right now. He's a douchebag.
I want to ask you a couple questions, and I just want some rapid-fire answers. Who's your favorite member of Blackboard Jungle?
My favorite member of Blackboard Jungle?
Yes.
I love all three of my brothers, but if you have to talk about the person that I'm closest to, it's Brett.
Okay. Well, what is your favorite Blackboard Jungle song?
Shade of Fall.
Are you looking forward to possibly seeing Britchcock come out at the Viper Room?
Well, hold on. Am I what?
I said, are you looking forward to the possibility of Britchcock coming out at the show?
That's up to him. If the West Hollywood Sheriff's Department wants to go and talk to him, that's up to him. I wouldn't do it if I were him.
That's true. Plus, last time, I mean, he broke it out. There was some shrinkage. It wasn't the old Brit we remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. he's got a big dode.
Dode. So anyway, what's the last CD? I know you're like, you're old school. What's the last CD you bought?
Oh, wow. You're going to love this. Brad Paisley.
Oh, shit. You are from Price.
I know. No. Listen. Brad Paisley, and it's the only country album I'd ever buy. The song was called, or not the song, the album is called Play, the guitar album, and it's all his guitar stuff. He's a badass, dude.
Yeah. Well, he's nowhere near Dave Zink. That's all I got
to
say.
Oh, no, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I'm not fit to tune his guitar. You're out of your mind.
Bro, you don't even fucking talk about Dave Zink like that, all right, pal?
No, Brad Paisley is a badass, dude.
All right. Hey, what was your favorite and most memorable Blackboard Jungle moment?
Blackboard Jungle moment?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? After all of these years, after all the stuff that happened, I had a very, very sad moment on stage at the very, very first Blackboard Jungle reunion show. We had made a commitment that Paint You a Picture would be the last song that we played. And as the last chords of that song rang out, I had to stop myself from crying because I was under the understanding, and so was Kenny and Brit and Joel, that that was going to be a one-time thing, that this is the only time that we'd do this. And I thought to myself as I was, you know, I was on the F chord, ready to go to the A, and I'm thinking, this A minor is the last chord that I'm going to play in front of people. That was the most memorable moment for me.
That's pretty cool. I like that story, Dave. That had a lot of heart, bro. I wasn't expecting that. You got me a little choked up.
I've held on to that, man. I thought that my career was over. Because there's no way that these people would want to come back a second time. Holy shit, they've been doing it for fucking 13 years.
I know, it's crazy, man. It's really crazy. I'm happy, though. It's really good. I mean, I'm sad that I'm going to miss it, but I'm happy that people still come out and they make it a big event, and there's pool parties and pizza parties at the Rainbow and handies and alleys, and you know what I'm saying. It's almost back to the old school. It's good to see, like, Angel and the Sirens come out, and it's just, dude, people are really into it. It's really cool that people still love it this much, and when you break those songs out once a year, you're like, fuck yeah, you know? It's really fun, man. It was a great time to remember, and plus, all our friends that are even playing Swingin' Thing and all the other bands that are coming up, even Muscat, these are people that we went through all this shit with, and, like, going to Japan, you guys went to Germany. There was so many things going on, and it was going fast, and it's the greatest unsigned band of the Hollywood has ever seen, and that's
wait,
true.
Hold on, how did that misnomer happen? We actually signed, what, like three different recording contracts?
Yeah, you did, but I mean, I think the closest you guys were, and it was going to go, and then Joel left the band, and then once that happened, it just seemed like it was just spiraling out of control. Does that sound pretty accurate? Because I remember, like, you guys did the thing on, you guys won the contest on Fox 11, and then you guys got a contract with somebody, and I think you guys just went and did, like, I think Danny did something, your lawyer did something stupid, and that EP never came out. I don't know what happened, but
you know, it's funny. You talk about great Blackboard Jungle memories. The best Blackboard Jungle memory, as far as happy ones goes, him and I, for some reason, we were on this Lufthansa flight coming back from Germany, and he and I had both stopped at the duty-free shop. We're talking about little Danny Hayes, right?
Yes.
Okay. Him and I both stopped at the same duty-free shop at Frankfurt Airport, which is like a giant mall. It's like the freaking Mall of America. and we both bought the same blue neck pillow. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
So we both blew them up, sat down in our seats. We've got like a, whatever the fuck it is, like a 10-hour flight. Am I exaggerating? Maybe it's an 8-hour flight.
Yeah.
So we're coming back from Frankfurt, and we both sit down, and I notice that the pillow that I bought is, like, deflating. Like, son of a bitch. And I'm tired. I've been fucking drinking German beer for the last fucking 3 weeks. And I'm hungover. I'm tired. I just want to go to sleep. And my thing's deflating. Motherfucker gets up, goes back to the rear of the aircraft, and he's going to take a pee. I look down and notice that his pillow is the same color as mine. So I switched him.
That's awesome, dude. Dude, Danny actually went on to like be lawyers for Everclear and Lincoln Park.
I know.
And he's working with some huge people now. I mean, he's untouchable now. Dude's a millionaire straight up.
Well, you know, I fucked the shit up, though, because when we woke up in Los Angeles, and by we, I mean me, I woke up refreshed in Los Angeles, you know, whatever, however many hours later. And I look at him like, Danny, you okay? And he's bloodshot eyes, his hair's messed up. He's like, no, I haven't been able to sleep. My fucking pillow didn't work. I'm like, really? Sorry, dude.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, yeah. he did good in the end. Remember his sister? She was cool. She had a good little band there. They were cool, man.
You're
gonna
love this.
Go ahead.
Dude, I bought her record at a fucking Hastings store here in Prescott, Arizona. Hayes. She was Lori Hayes, and her band was called H-A-Z-E. I saw her record and fucking bought it.
Are you serious? I mean, I didn't know they put anything out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She had a record. It was called, top of my head, Tom Dooley.
Tom Dooley, that's right.
Yeah, and she was a fucking great singer.
She was an amazing singer. I wonder what she wound up doing, because I have not tried to look her up. I got to look her up.
I don't know. She was beautiful and she was talented. She was nothing like her brother.
Oh, shit. Anyway, so check it out, man. I know you got to eat and stuff, but, dude, I appreciate you taking the time out and doing this podcast. We can go on for hours, but right now we're at, like, about 40 minutes, and people usually yell at me, like, dude, your shit's too long, but hopefully they'll enjoy this. The only thing I need from you, and I should say this off air, I need Joel's phone number if you could text it to me. And I also need a picture of you holding a guitar. Just send it to me, text or email it to me. I don't care. Joey Crush.
Are you talking about like a current picture?
Yeah, because I am going to put it when your podcast comes up, there's going to be a picture of you. And that's the picture I need.
Okay, what guitar do you want?
Whatever one you want, man. I don't give a shit. I like the black one. No, you know what? Your Muscat guitar. That's fine.
Okay.
All right. So is there anything you want to say to all your fans that are going to be at the show on May 28th at the Viper Room?
If you happen to go by my hotel, buy me a drink because they're $14 a piece. I found that out last year.
Wait, what hotel is it?
It's at the Grafton. I stumbled home from the last gig, thought I'd turn in, you know, get myself an IPA. I ordered one and the guy says, that'll be $14.
Bro,
and I'm like, dude, I only want one.
Yeah, me and my son stayed there last summer, and when I checked out of that place, my bill for seriously, I stayed there for 6 nights, 7 days. My bill was $1,600, dude.
Fuck,
it was ridiculous. Wow. I know, dude. I felt like, and you know, like you figure I could just stay at his house in Ventura, but you know, nothing normal there. So actually, Laurel's getting married in October. She's getting
no kidding,
getting remarried for the third time, and guess what? For the third time, she's going to marry a guy named Joe.
You're serious?
I swear to God, dude. So she's happy, though. It is what it is, dude. Laurel is Laurel. She has not changed a bit, but she's going to go ahead and do this again with all the same old shit she still hasn't fixed, but it is what it is, man. Well, I can't.
I wish her happiness.
Yeah, I mean, we all do, but I just think, I don't know, whatever. I'm going to keep it to myself. But anyway, listen, man, I think that the show is going to be great. It's going to sell out. You guys need to get your tickets. And you get to see Dave Zink, Guitar God, on stage on May 20th at the Viper Room. And Dave, thanks a lot for being a part of the show, man. I love you, dude. And you're my brother forever, man.
Love you too, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Hey, I'll text you in like 5 minutes.
You got it, brother. Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.